Romans chapter number 12. We're going to skip around to many different verses tonight, but this will be our launching pad right here. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to begin, because this verse is going to identify for us the gift that we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay? So we're going to go to Romans chapter number 12, and in verse number 4, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us." And then he's going to start naming many of the gifts that we've already talked about, some we haven't yet. Prophecy according to the proportion of faith. Now look at verse 7. This is the one I want to focus on. Verse 7. He says, "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." In other words, be involved in it. Be doing it. And it's interesting, that word wait, because the idea there of the word ministry, if you look it up, Brother Paul know this, he was in our deacon training, the word ministry and ministering is literally, it means to do service. And they come from those words ministry and ministering come from the exact same root word that we get our English word deacon. By the way, what does the word deacon mean? Can anybody tell me? What does deacon mean? Servant, right. So the idea of serving, ministering, is serving. So what I've done is I've taken the gift of ministering, here listed in Romans 12, 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 talks about the gift of helps. And I've kind of combined those thoughts together, and I've called it the gift of serving. Because that is what that word ministering actually means. And it's interesting, because if you look up the word deacon, it means servant, but it means literally to wait on tables. He says, if your gift is ministering, let us wait on our ministering. In other words, the idea doesn't mean sit around and wait. The word wait there carries the idea of being involved. Wait, and like I said, it means to wait on tables. It's to be involved serving. In fact, the office of deacon was first instituted because men were needed who could work behind the scenes performing necessary everyday tasks. Now, go to Acts chapter 6, and I'll give you the idea here of this. We're going to look at a couple verses in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 6, right before the book of Romans, is the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 6, and there was a people problem in the early church. And some of the widows were murmuring, the Grecian widows were murmuring against the Hebrew widows because they were neglected in the daily, look at the last word of verse 1, Acts 6, 1, the daily ministration, that daily ministering. Some of the people in the church were feeling neglected in the daily ministration, the daily ministry. So verse 2 says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said," it's not reason. In other words, that makes sense. "That we," the 12, "should leave the word of God and serve," there's that word, "serve tables." Ministration, serving. And that's why I say the word literally means to wait on tables. And verse 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren," here was what they decided to do. "Look ye out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word," and the saying pleased the whole multitude. That's what they did. Now, look up here, class. What happened was you had this people problem where certain people in the church were feeling neglected in the daily ministration. So the apostles said, okay, our job is to feed the flock. We have to pray for the flock. We've got to feed the flock, the Word of God, so we need to study the Word. So they said, they realized that their chief function would be to pray and minister the Word. So if they were to go out and be involved in these everyday tasks of ministry, then that would take them away from the Word of God and prayer, and they would not be able to give themselves to that, and of course, the work of God would suffer, right? So they get these seven men, which is the idea of where we get deacons. And they get these seven men, they appoint them over that business. So these guys are involved serving, ministering. So tonight we're talking about the gift of serving. I'm just trying to kind of give you an idea of what the gift, you know, give you an idea of the gift. A person with the gift of serving is not a king, doesn't even want to be a king. They're a king maker. They enjoy working behind the scenes, performing necessary jobs or manual tasks or daily duties. They enjoy doing that. If you've got the gift of serving, you enjoy that sort of thing. Just getting the job done without fanfare, without a bunch of applause, without a bunch of rah-rah, just getting the job done, you know? Now, go to Acts 9. I'll show you a lady that I think definitely would exemplify the gift of serving. Acts 9, just a few chapters to the right there. Look at verse 36. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, and it says, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." Full of good works and alms deeds, all right? Verse 37 says, "It came to pass in those days she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth." Of course, Peter raises her up from the dead. And many end up believing in the Lord. And so here we have a woman named Tabitha, or her surname is Dorcas. And aren't you thankful your name isn't Dorcas, ladies? Amen? That's in our culture wouldn't be too good, would it? Dorcas. But she's a server, right? She's a server. And she used her talent of sewing in the gift of service. She'd make clothes for all the widows in the church. She'd make clothes for the poor and needy. She was a server, and she used her gift of sewing to do that. Do you think there'd be any ladies in our church that do that? Walk through Bethlehem, right, Barb? Right? How many costumes y'all making this year? 58 new costumes this year. Wow. And so they're sewing 58 new costumes. There you go. I mean, boom, right there. We see this lady use this gift of serving to minister and to edify others. Now, why is the gift of serving necessary in the body of Christ? Well, I mean, I think it's very possible that more people have this gift than probably any other gift, because it is so necessary to the body of Christ. You see, and again, I'm going to name a few examples. This is not, please, I mean, if I don't name something you're involved in, it's not on purpose. I'm just kind of off the top of my head saying that people with this gift can be seen doing things like painting the walls. Exhibit A today, I'm out on the parking lot there talking to a man in our church and his wife who have a business. They have their own business in construction, and they are out here with one of their workers from their business, and they spent hours out there painting a lot of the boards there in Bethlehem, making sure everything is freshly painted so that the wood is protected and it will last longer. And so they're out there doing that. In a few weeks, there'll be ladies out there propping out the city, you know, and they'll be propping out, making sure that all the shops look beautiful. People with this gift, the gift of serving, they can be seen cleaning the church buildings, which a lot of what's done around here is done by volunteers. Baking cookies. Now remember, what's the first rule of baking cookies? Pastor Dan taste test all cookies, right? All right. Just kidding. Cooks meals for the sick. Somebody with this gift may be driving the bus. Thank God for these guys who drive these buses. Fixing things that are broken. Helping with projects in the office. We have ladies that come every week and they help us with projects in the office, or they answer the phones. Vacuuming the floors, cleaning the toilets, helping with church office projects, working to beautify our church property. If you've ever gone up and down Clyde Morris and you've driven in a lot of these churches, they're in disrepair. And you see that the it's not edged, it's not, the property doesn't look. By the way, doesn't the front of our church, doesn't that area right when you first walk in with all the flowers, doesn't that look beautiful? Well, guess what? We've got a guy in our church that does that. And he comes in every week, and that's his thing, you know? And so that's what I'm talking about. You know, I could go on and on and on and on and on with examples of someone with the gift of serving. The possibilities are endless. People who utilize their gift of serving, and they do it to help the body of Christ. It's absolutely amazing. It's incredible the amount of people around here that do that. Without servers, you know what we'd have? A mess, yeah. A mess. Amen. I didn't know what I was going to say, but in a way I was. Without servers, we'd have a bunch of preachers and teachers around here trying to speak on broken down PA systems in run down church buildings into empty chairs. Amen. It's exactly what we'd have. It's exactly what we'd have. And we're going to cover the gift of teaching. That's one of the gifts. And we're going to cover that gift. But without servers, teachers wouldn't be able to do their thing. You know, this pulpit was built by Brother Donnie. He's in here, right? Is he in here? Where he was in here, he was bothering me earlier. Yeah, where is he? Oh, he's in the video room. All right, see, he's serving. Amen. He's serving. He's doing the video. But yeah, built that pulpit, that mission, special missions pulpit we bring out when we do missions emphasis. And that's what I'm talking about. Without servers, that's what we'd have. We have a bunch of preachers and teachers speaking to, you know, in broken down buildings and probably to empty chairs. You see, servers, those who have this gift, they're not people who figure, well, I can't do anything else in the church, so I guess I just have the gift of service. No, that attitude would belittle the gift. It would be an insult to the Holy Spirit that gave the gift. Remember this, church, there are no menial tasks in God's work. Remember that. There are no menial tasks, none. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink. Now, there couldn't be anything more everyday or common about that. Eating and drinking. Y'all do that every day? Yeah, you do. You know you do. That's an everyday thing we do. He says, and so I think the idea of that verse is he's wanting to bring out one of the most common, everyday, ordinary things you could do. And he says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it to the glory of God. So there's no menial tasks in God's service. We got volunteers in here vacuuming the floors on Monday from the stuff we all tracked in. You know, we've got people going through these pews, picking up all the trash out of the pews, stuff we leave behind. And they come in and they gather up all that garbage. You know, it's amazing. It really is. Without servers, little or nothing would be accomplished in the work of God. In order for me to speak on Sunday morning, doors have to be unlocked, lights and air conditioning has to be turned on, microphones have to be brought out, new batteries have to be put in them, the PA has to be turned on and has to be tested, handouts must be formatted. You know, the handouts that we give on Sunday morning, they have to be formatted, they have to be printed, they have to be distributed, and on and on and on I could go. Think of the things that have to happen just for me to be able to preach and teach on Sunday morning. Now, let's go to Philippians 2, and I want to show you the characteristics of the server, and I want to use a man by the name of Timothy. Does that sound familiar? I hope so. We've been preaching out of 1 Timothy for weeks now on Sunday morning. And I want to show you a verse in Philippians about that, okay? Philippians chapter 2. And I want to use Timothy as an example of a server. And I want to kind of draw a profile of the gift of serving from Timothy. Now, who was Timothy? Can anybody tell me? He was the right-hand man of who? Good. He was the right-hand man of the Apostle Paul. Right. Serving and doing whatever he could do to help Paul out. Look at Philippians 2 and look at verse number 22. Philippians 2, 22. The context here is Timothy. All right, if you look up at verse 19, he's talking about Timothy. Verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Look at verse 22. But ye know the proof of him. You know the proof of him. That as a son, and he wasn't his son, biologically, but he said, as a son with the father, he hath, and what's that next word? Served with me in the gospel. Paul refers to him as his work fellow in Romans 16, 21. So what I want to do is I want to give a profile of the server tonight. We're going to use the PowerPoint. We're going to bring up five characteristics of those with this gift. Now, I want to reiterate something that I think I said a week or two ago. These are general profiles that we're trying to gather from the Bible. They may not be 100% you, but you figure if it's 80 or 90% you, you've probably got that gift, okay? So don't get hung up on that and say, well, that one is not me, so I must not have this gift. No, Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. He lives within you. He will reveal to you the gift you've been given. And it could be that most of it characterizes you, but maybe not all of it. That's okay, all right? But let's do this. Let's bring up the first one, all right? Number one is that the server, those with this gift, they enjoy freeing up others to achieve their God-given responsibilities. They enjoy doing acts of service to be able to free up other, you know, whoever else would have to do it if you didn't do it. You enjoy freeing them up so that they can do other things. Like what we read earlier, the deacons there enjoyed going out doing the daily ministration. Why? They enjoyed that because they got, the enjoyment came from them knowing we're freeing up the pastors to be able to pray and study the Word. A server enjoys that. Timothy's a great example. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses there. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And of course, this book is written to Timothy. And he's the one that we're using here as our example of a server. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. Here Paul is writing. In verse 10 to Timothy, Paul's writing, the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So now here's Paul, verse 11, he's in prison, and he says, only Luke is with me. Then he tells Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me, for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Now, on the surface, you may read that, and it's just Paul kind of giving some directions. But what I want you to get out of that is that, listen, because Timothy was coming to serve Paul, and Paul knew it, because he's coming to where Paul is, to serve Paul, and to serve Paul's needs. Because of that, Paul's able to send all these other guys to different locations. Another example of that with Timothy was when Paul was in Ephesus. Remember when Paul was in Ephesus? Remember the big uproar in Ephesus they had, the big riot that they had because of Paul was interfering with their goddess worship of Diana and all their sales and all that. Well, you remember that story. What's interesting about that is right before that uproar, it says in Acts 19:22 that Paul sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. And then you know who he names? Take a guess. Who's one of the ones you think he named that ministered to him? Timothy. Yes. Timothy and Erastus. But he, Paul himself, stayed in Asia for a season. And then after that's when the riot happens. Now, isn't that neat? Isn't that cool? Timothy, the Bible says, ministered to Paul. He was like just there to minister, there to serve. We don't know what he did, but it's probably a million things. Just daily, probably what on the surface, mundane things that had to be done. so that Paul could minister there in Ephesus. And Timothy's doing it. He said, Timothy and Erastus ministered unto me. Then there comes a point where Paul needs a couple guys to go to Macedonia. So what does he do? He gets Timothy and says, hey, buddy, I need you to go into Macedonia for me. And man, he's off. Just a server, you know? A server derives satisfaction from knowing that he or she is freeing up time for the pastor or for the church staff by performing manual tasks and jobs. A server would never, somebody with this gift, would never have the attitude, well, let them do it. That's what we're paying them for. A server, if someone with this gift would never feel that way. We have ladies that come in here and they answer the phones. And they're so happy because they know that by answering the phones and the doors or whatever, that they are freeing up the secretaries to be able to do other things that need to be done. And they derive joy from that. See why? They've got this gift. See? So a server would never have that attitude. Well, that's what we're paying them for. Let them do it. On the other hand, a server would be quick to say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. I can do that. There's been times through the years where, like, after choir or during choir or when I'm on my way back from choir, which is Sunday night, you know, we had all the services Sunday morning, have 1,000 people going in and out, and I'll notice, like, a pile of crumbs or something in the floor, and I'll run back and I'll get the vacuum cleaner and I'll start vacuuming it. And you know what servers do? Don't do that! Pastor, I'll do that. You go on to your office, look over your message, and you need to focus on that. Let me do that. That's just a server for you. You know, they enjoy that. Number two, the server likes to meet practical needs. Now, I'm going to explain that in a minute, but go to 2 Timothy 4. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Notice it says, Paul tells Timothy, the cloak, the coat that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. I love this. You say, why did God put this stuff in the Bible? Because it's good. It's good stuff. You begin to see that these are everyday people. And there's everyday things that have to be done. Paul needed his books. He needed his parchments. He needed a coat. I guess it was getting cold. They're in that prison. And so he just real, in a just practical task. Timothy, buddy, I need you to get this. And he makes a to-do list for Timothy of stuff to bring, knowing Timothy's going to get it done. Why? Because Timothy's he's a server. The server likes to meet practical needs. Give you an example. Are you ready for this? All right. We're going to take, this is going to be good. It's going to serve as a review because we've covered many of the gifts, right? So let me do this. The server would feel much more comfortable fixing the plumbing or painting the house or cleaning the home for a widow than to go over and have prayer and Bible study with her. Now, let me do this. Let me take that illustration. Let's take a needy widow. There's a widow in the church. She's lost her husband. There's some needs there. And I want us to see, she's sad, she's mourning, her husband's gone, she's got practical needs, she's got spiritual needs, she's got all this stuff going on, her life's been turned upside down. The body of Christ is going to kick in to help her, right? So let's look at that needy widow and see how the various gifts would most likely respond to her. You ready? The mercy shower. The one with the gift of showing mercy, the mercy shower would go over to her house and just listen. Sit there as long as it took, never looking at their watch, listening to her worries, her concerns, her cares, her problems. And buddy, by the time the mercy shower left, her problems would be the mercy shower's problems. They would feel that, you know. Those with the gift of teaching, which we haven't covered that one yet, but those with the gift of teaching, you know what they would want to do? I'll go over and have a Bible study with her, right? They'll go over and have a Bible study with her. The administrator, remember the leader, Nehemiah? The administrator would go over to her house, set up a budget for her, and devise a plan for her survival. You know, they would have it figured out. Here's the game plan. Here's what you need to do. A, B, C, D. We're here to help you with this. The exhorter, Brother Mike covered that one. The exhorter, what would he do? Man, the man or woman that has the gift of exhortation would go over there and would encourage her, give her a hug, give her a pep talk, and get her busy doing things to take her mind off all her problems. The giver, we haven't covered that gift yet. The giver would purchase paint, you know, buy her new carpet or whatever was needed, would be more than happy to open up their pocketbook in any way to help that widow out. The server, that's the one we're covering tonight. The server would be the first one to volunteer to go over there, clean her house, put in the carpet. The giver will buy the carpet. The server will go over and put it in, make her a meal, you know, paint the house, whatever. That's the server. Servers are good at manual jobs. They enjoy working with their hands. Their attitude is, and boy, I'm not this way, but some of you are this way. Someone with the gift of serving, typically, if they've got something they're trying to put together, their attitude would be, read the directions if all else fails. Right? Forget the directions. Throw them out. You know, don't need them. Me, I'm going A, B, C, and I still can't do it, you know. I still can't get it right, you know. But because the server is faithful and devoted to helping others, they're called upon often and usually have a hard time saying no. Many times, except to their own family. They'll tell their own family no, but they have a hard time telling other people no. That's not always true, but I'm just giving you a warning. Because there's such a willingness and there's such an excitement to serve, the server can be taken advantage of by others. Because the server is the type that if somebody calls with a service opportunity, they can't hardly bring themselves to say no. So therefore, they've got tons of irons in the fire because it's an opportunity to serve. I get to serve, you know. And so, you know, typically they're the type that got five different things going on Sunday morning. And so they're running, you know. Brother John back there does with our ushers, worked with them so great for years. And Brother John, they're running to their post, and the reason why they're late is because they're serving somewhere else, right? And they're trying to get to their post, but they're running from doing, they were a parking lot attendant, or they were working at the Welcome Center. Now they're running over to usher, you know. And that's typical of a server. They love it. They get excited. Number three, a server is happier when following rather than leading. Now, they can lead. Don't get me wrong. They can lead. But they're happier following rather than leading. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul had asked Timothy to stay at Ephesus and to assume a position of leadership in the church there and to kind of help them. And, you know, you kind of get the idea here that Timothy wasn't real comfortable with it. Look at verse 3. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, Paul wanted him to stay there, when I, Paul, went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So what he's doing right here is he's basically saying, Timothy, I want you to stay at Ephesus, and I want you to assume some leadership there. And I want you to charge them, all right? Well, look over at 1 Timothy. Look at chapter 5. As Paul reunites with Timothy, Timothy is sick, he's in tears. Look at 1 Timothy 5, and look at verse 23. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often what? Infirmities. He's sickly, man. He's been in this leadership position, and he's sick. Not only that, go to 2 Timothy 1, the next page over. Look at 2 Timothy 1:4. He's in tears. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul's trying to encourage the guy. You know, we get the idea that Timothy was much happier serving under Paul's leadership than to be the one out there leading. There are, by the way, just mention this, there are men with this gift, the gift of serving. I personally have known some. There are men with this gift that are incredibly wonderful. They're great men. But they've been kind of shoved into a senior pastorate position. And they've got this gift. And so they can't seem to get anything done. They're scrambling Saturday night to prepare their message for Sunday morning. when they go to feed their flock, it's just not meaty, it's not substantive, there's not much to it. And the reason why, it's not because they're bad guys, it's because they're always out fixing the church van, or they're painting a widow's house, or they're taking groceries to somebody. You know, great things to do. And they're using their gift. But the problem is, of course, is should his number one thing be he needs to feed the flock? Yes? Amen. So it's a great to be out fixing the van, you know, or taking groceries, but he's got to realize what his primary duty is. And that's very hard. If you get in a, by the way, that's why it's important that you know your gifts. You got to know them. That's why at the end, you need, and if you've missed some, we've got them in folders back there, and we've got detailed notes on every one so that you can study each one, identify your gift, then function within the strengths that God's given you. Function within the strengths that you've been given. Don't try to be me. Don't, you know, and don't try to be Paul, or don't try to be Brother Ben Pruitt. You know, don't try to be Becky. You be you. Be who God's made you in Christ. Know your gifts and then function within the realm of those gifts. And it's so elementary, but yet it's so profound, you know, and it's so forgotten in most churches. Well, you know, a lot of times we put people in a position based on whether or not they have a pulse. You know? Oh, we need somebody to work in the children's class. Whoop, you got a pulse. You're in, you know. And you know, we need somebody to usher. If they got a pulse, let's use them, you know. And we don't identify this. And so people a lot of times are the proverbial, the square peg in the round hole. And then they're upset. They're not satisfied. They know they don't fit. And they're frustrated. All right? So you need to figure this out. It's really important. All right? Number four. A server needs the approval and encouragement of the one he serves. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You're already there. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," he tells Timothy, "that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." I mean, you can just see that Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. He's trying to get him encouraged. He's trying to get him fired up. He's saying, hey man, it's all right. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be in tears. You don't have to be full of infirmities and upset stomach and all that. No, God's given you that spirit of power and love. And man, I want you to know I believe in you, Paul's saying right there. You've got an unfeigned faith that's in you. And he said, man, I know, and you've got gifts because I was there, man. I know. And I know the gifts that you have. And so Paul's just, you know, approving of him and encouraging him. And you know, the two books Paul wrote, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, both the books are written really to encourage Timothy. If you read them, he's trying to encourage the guy. If the server feels like he's being taken for granted, or she's being taken for granted, or not appreciated, they can get hurt. They can get offended. It's not right, but it can happen. Many times, those with the gift of server have a negative attitude towards themselves. And again, it goes back to the thing of they're not in the limelight. They're not in front of people. They typically don't get pats on the back. They don't get that approval and commendation. So they can be kind of real negative about themselves, think that, well, all I do is make cookies for Bethlehem. You know, kind of that attitude. That's all I can do. All I can do is this or that. And they can get down on themselves, you know, and they need that approval and they need that encouragement. All right, number five, and this is the last point. A server is typically faithful and reliable. I want you to go with me. You're in Timothy. Go back to the left to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First, just back a couple books. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and look at verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. Let's go up to verse 1. Okay, remember, Paul started this church. And he says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, he wouldn't know how they were doing, We thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And notice what he did. He sent Timotheus, our brother and minister. There's that word again. That means servant. Minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And so Paul knew, okay, the Thessalonians, I've got to know how they're doing. If Satan's gotten the victory in their life, so who am I going to send? Faithful, reliable Timothy. He calls him his fellow laborer. He says he's a minister. He's our brother. Faithful. Go to First Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll show you another great verse about Timothy here. First Corinthians chapter 4, great verse. I love this verse, one of my favorites. 1 Corinthians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy. Now Paul's sending Timothy to Corinth. You can see, one verse he sent him into Macedonia, another one he sends him into Corinth, another one he sends him into Thessalonica. I mean, buddy, he is faithful and reliable. Look at it. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and what? Faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You know, a server, somebody with this gift, typically, they take their service for the Lord very seriously. Very seriously. Paul really leaned on Timothy. He really did. He knew he was faithful, knew he was reliable. Paul knew he could count on Timothy to get the task done. Whatever it was, he knew he could lean on him. He knew he could depend on him. Another illustration to kind of bring together the different gifts that we've covered. See if you can relate to this. See if you fit in any of these scenarios, okay? Let's say that there's a manual task that needs to be done for a ministry. Let's just throw out an example. Let's say there's a room that needs to be painted. And it's got to be painted for Sunday, or Walk Through Bethlehem has to be painted, and it's got to be done Saturday for Sunday, okay? And so if you need that manual task done for a ministry, how do the different gifts respond? Well, probably the person with the gift of giving, they'll tell you, I can't come and help, but I sure will be glad to purchase the materials that you need. The teacher, when you ask them if they want to come help paint the classroom, the teacher says, I'll be too busy on Saturday studying my lesson. Right? The exhorter, man, they get excited. You're going to paint a classroom? Man, that's exciting. Man, that's going to look nice. Wow, that's needed. Man, I tell you, and they'll tell you how excited they are about it, but they may not even show up Saturday because they've gotten excited about something else since then. So they may not show. The exhorter isn't the one you really want to depend on to be there, all right? They get real excited in the moment, but unless you get them right then and walk them over, they're probably going to get excited about something else, you know, and they will have committed to 3 or 4 other things by Saturday. But the administrator, the one that's the leader, you remember an administrator is a delegator. The administrator is the leader. They don't have to be hands-on and do everything. They're very comfortable delegating, letting other people do. So the administrator may tell you they'll be there, but they probably won't show up. But if they don't show up, they'll have somebody they recruited to be there in their place. They'll have somebody they talked to and recruited to be there for them because they take it seriously. I said I'd be there. I can't be there, but I've got somebody I've recruited to go in my place. The server, the person with this gift, they're not only there Saturday, they're there 15 minutes early with tool in hand wanting to know what took you so long to get there. I've been here for 15 minutes waiting for you to get here. They can't wait to get at that classroom and start painting. So, I mean, they're there early with tools in hand, ready to go. So it's just kind of a humorous, way to kind of show you the different gifts and how they work. Now, how does Satan attack people with this gift? Every week we end with this. Because every gift is designed by the Holy Spirit to be a blessing. All right? But with every gift, there are some potential problems. There are some areas where Satan can really fight you. He's our adversary. And the first way that Satan can attack someone that's a server is he causes pride because of the work that you've done. Another way that Satan attacks people with this gift, he causes you to have a feeling of insignificance because you're not in front of people, you're not in the limelight, most people don't even know what you do, so you can start getting on a pity party and having a feeling of insignificance. By the way, aren't you glad the Lord sees everything? Doesn't matter if people see it, God sees it. Another area Satan can attack people with this gift, he causes jealousy when those with the spotlight get attention and praise. Another way he can cause Satan can tempt you is he can cause a lack of concern for spiritual growth. Many people with this gift, because they're hands-on, manual task-oriented, they love just serving and doing things, they can tend to neglect the Word, not be in the Word, and not pray, and not really draw close to the Lord because they feel like their service for the Lord is enough. I mean, I do this and I do that, and they begin to equate activity and action as a substitute for a relationship with Christ. And so you got to be aware of that. Another way, Satan can cause discouragement because you feel unappreciated. Another way is Satan can cause you to lose focus on people instead of who you're ultimately serving, and that's the Lord. You see, servers are people pleasers. They enjoy helping people. They enjoy, like I said, taking a load off of someone else and helping them. They enjoy that. But they got to be careful. They got to be careful to constantly make sure that they're doing their service. The Bible says, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. So the server has to remember, when you serve, who are you doing it unto? Jesus, right? Not men. Now, go to Luke 10 and we'll end with this. Luke chapter 10, and I want to read to you here an example of the carnal use of this gift. Okay, look at Luke chapter 10. And I think you'll recognize the story when we get to it. It's the story of Mary and Martha, sisters. And in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, notice, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary immediately goes, bows down, and is listening to Jesus. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much what? Serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Boy, isn't that true right there? That's so true, isn't it? Servers, and it's a great gift. It, like I told you, I think probably more people have this gift than probably any of the nine because it's so necessary to the body of Christ. But it's, you got to be careful that you don't get so involved serving that you forget that, you know what? It's not about my activity. It's about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I got to walk with him, and I got to worship him, and I got to love him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. You got to love him and walk with him. Amen, church? So at the end of every lesson, I have scriptures for you to memorize if you have this gift. So as you leave tonight, I hope that you will pick up a copy of this gift. Brother Mike Worf is going to make sure that they're at each door. If we could go ahead and have the guys go to the various doors at this time and set up and be ready to hand those out, I'd really appreciate that. And so we'll have them back at the back door. Brother Don, you're going to be here? Okay, great. And Brother Mike is back here. And so we've got those ready to go. All right. Well, all right. We're covering them one by one. So what'd you say? How many have I covered? Six? So there's nine total. So nine minus six is three. We've got three more. So I hope you'll come back each week as we cover the last three gifts. Okay?